श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादम् शङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। So the text we are going to look at is called Manisha Panchakam, attributed to Adi Shankaracharya. It's a prakarana, means it's a text which covers some aspects of Vedanta, and as the name suggests, it is a panchaka, which means it's a set of five verses. Five verses on Manisha. What is Manisha? So, if you look at the dictionary, Manisha will be presented as intelligence, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. All these are meanings. But we will be using the word mainly in the sense of a conviction. Okay? Because the refrain In these five verses you will see is Esha Manisha Mama. So Acharya Shankara is going to say Esha Manisha Mama. So it is his conviction. That's the sense in which we are going to be using this word. So this Manisha Panchakam is set as a dialogue. A dialogue between a chandala, we'll talk about what's a chandala, and Shankaracharya. So we have to get a little background information here to know how this is set up. Okay, so we can actually start reading it. So you can see first two lines I have put, and then I put an or and three lines after that. So I've seen both readings. Okay, so I thought it's good to have both, because that is not part of the Panchaka. The Panchaka begins after the statement Shankaracharya Uvacha. Okay, so you can see that the numbering begins after Shankaracharya Uvacha. So until then, it is the Chandala who is talking. Okay, so the story goes like this: that at some point in time, Acharya Shankara was going towards Kashi. And when he was going there, Shiva and Parvati were going somewhere. Right? But Shiva decided to put on a disguise and confront Shankara with a question. Okay? And he came in the manner, dressed in the manner of a person who is considered low in the social order at that time. A chandala. He came in that form, and Shankara had said to him, "Move away. Don't defile me." Then it is Shiva, it is not a chandala, and he asks back a couple of questions. Then Shankara recognizes what he is up against, who is he talking to, or who is the kind of person who is talking to. And therefore his answer is nothing but the Vedanta being put forth. Okay, that's the setting for this. So let us look at, so as I said, there are two readings here, nothing different, the meaning is the same. And the second one is what I have heard for a while on Chinmaya Mission's tapes at some point. Okay, in Chinmaya Mission they have made some tapes, and there they say it like this. So it goes like this, so you can chant after me. Sati Acharyasya Gamane Kadachin Muktidayakam Kashi Kshetram Prati సహ గౌర్యా మార్గేషు శంకరం అంత్యవేషధరం దృష్ట్వా గచ్చ గచ్చ ఇత్యబ్రవీత్. ఓకే, సో వాట్ నౌ? ఆచార్యస్య గమనే కదాచిత్ సమ్ పాయింట్ ఇన్ టైమ్, ఆచార్యస్య గమనే, ఆచార్య వాస్ గోయింగ్ వేర్ కాశీక్షేత్రం ప్రతి, ఇస్ గోయింగ్ టువర్డ్స్ కాశీ. కాశీ ఇస్ వాట్? ఇట్స్ కాల్డ్ ఎ నగరా విచ్ గివ్స్ మోక్ష, ముక్తిదాయకం. సో టిపికలీ పీపుల్ డోంట్ వాంట్ జీవన్ ముక్తి వెన్ దే వాంట్ టు గో టు కాశీ. దే వాంట్ టు గో అండ్ డై ఇన్ కాశీ బికాస్ ద స్టోరీ ఈస్ దట్ డైయింగ్ ఇన్ కాశీ విల్ గివ్ యూ మోక్ష, విదేహ ముక్తి. దేర్ఫోర్ the dying in Kashi was so important, people from the south would travel all the way and they would say their goodbyes and go, and they would want to die in Kashi. So that Kashi Kshetram is very special. And the word Kashi itself, there is another work of Shankara called Kashi Panchakam, maybe we will see it sometime. That Kashi should not be taken literally as a place. Kashi kashate prakashate asamantat, it shines. So Kashi is really myself. Okay, so if you die in a way understanding your own nature, then there is moksha. That's the way we can look at it. Okay, so Kashi Panchakam will bring that out probably to some extent. So he is going, Shankaracharya at some point is going towards Kashi. Then what happens? Saha Gaurya margesh shankaram antyaveshadharam drishtva. So he saw, drishtva, having seen. Whom did he see? Shankaram. He saw Lord Shiva. Shankaram. And how was that Shiva? Antya Veshadharam. Antya. Antya means ante bhavaha. That which is at the end. End of what? End of the social totem pole. Okay. So we know that there is a Varnashrama system. Okay. What is the Varnashrama system? There is an arrangement in society telling the duties and responsibilities of various people in the society depending on the stage of life and depending on their varna. Varna translated in English as the word caste. So what is varna? Varna is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. Four varnas. So among them, the Antya varna is what? A Shudra. So a Shudra, it is not that they are low. When I say low, not really low, it's not right word to use. But the idea is that every Varna had its place in the scheme of things. So for example, right now, we all go to the temple. Nobody is stopped from going to the temple. But none of us will go inside the sanctum and do the puja. We wait for Bhatji to come or, you know, Sitaraman to come and do something about it. We can easily reach out and do it ourselves. In fact, it is suggested don't even put flowers from outside inside. Don't do that. Okay? When you come to a temple, you take a bath and come. You know, wear fresh clothes and come. All this is a convention. Right? But what I am trying to highlight is the fact that a Brahmana had certain duties, certain responsibilities. And this Varnashrama Vyavastha is primarily designed for what purpose? To help everybody grow to their fullest potential. To attain moksha. Because what we do is not so important, but how we do it is very, very important. That's the thinking. And every person is born with a certain disposition. Birth itself, we don't take it as a chance happening. We don't take that as a luck. You know, somebody is born like this, somebody is born like that. One is born with a silver teaspoon, one is born with a wooden teaspoon. There's a reason for that. And that reason is one's own karma, one's own past. Therefore, everybody is born based on their own disposition. As I was saying in satsang yesterday or day before, that a person is born in a given manner in order to fulfill the desires that the person's disposition has. So a person is born as a tiger because he has a himsatmaka disposition. He wants to kill, destroy. So Bhagavan says, okay, you want to do that? I will give you a form where you can do it without guilt or any trouble. Just go ahead and kill. No problem. But that disposition is what gave him that birth. So similarly, a person with a different karma background will get a different birth. Now each varna, at each stage of life, ashramas are what? You have brahmacharya, then grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasa. So, in you place each person, which varna, which ashrama. So, what is the disposition of the person, and what stage of life he is in. At that stage, there is something, some duties, some ways of living, which are prescribed for that person. And vyavahara is one wherein there is a certain religious sanctity. Okay? So if I want to go and into the puja room, even in my own house, forget about a temple, I must take a bath. Right? If somebody close in the family, like if my father, anybody related to my father's side, if they pass away, then for a period of time, we are not supposed to enter the puja room, not even light the lamp, no rangoli. All this is religious sanctity. Similarly, suppose something like you have a eclipse, right? We've seen eclipses here. If you remember, what did we say? If you have food remaining in your room, what should you do during an eclipse? You throw it away, or you have to put some darbha grass in it, right? So Swami in fact offered darbha grass. If you had some, you can take it and you can put it. So if you had pickles at home, which was the only thing I think people had at that time, which stayed because no refrigerators, no old food could be stored. But you would take this darbha and you would put it in that. Okay? And as soon as you heard about somebody's death in the family, whether they were in your village or another, today it's extending to all the way another continent. Wherever it happens, if you hear, as soon as you hear, you have to go take a bath. And not just a simple shower, head has to be covered. You know? You have to take a bath which wets the entire body. This is the rule. You want to do puja, there is to be something called madi. Which means that you would hang your clothes every day after a bath, you wash your clothes, you hang it, not on any rope, it would be hung on a bamboo. And that bamboo is itself hung high up near the ceiling so that nobody touches it. And then there is another bamboo to take it out. So that you take out those clothes, you wear them, and you come and start doing your preparation for the puja even, not before that. And if somebody touches that person or comes in contact, or even if a dirty cloth comes in contact, then the person has to go take a bath again and wear fresh clothes. And there is no second fresh cloth because what was washed today is on the line right now. So you have to wear those wet clothes and continue. Okay? This is the way. This is the way I have seen with people in my own family. Now it's not happening, but it was there. In the villages, definitely it was there. So they would do this. And this lady, old lady I had seen, would hold a kamandalu, you know, water pot, and she will sprinkle water along the way because she doesn't walk on unclean land. She has to clean the place up. So it has to be made kosher. You offer flowers to Bhagavan. What do? We actually start by saying, you know, you chant a mantra, okay? You have a kalasha, okay? Kalasha means a pot. In the pot you have water. Then what do? We do what we call kalasha puja. So we worship that pot with the water. Then we say what? Kalashasya mukhe Vishnuhu. The mouth of the pot, you invoke Vishnu. Right? Kalashasya mukhe Vishnuhu. Madhye rudra samashritaha. Mule tatra sito brahma. Madhye matrigana smritaha. So you say, in this pot, top is Vishnu. Then there is Rudra. Then Mula, there is Vishnu. And in between there are all ganas, right? Matriganas pritaha, matriganas. Kukshauta sagaras sarve. In its stomach, in the pot is what? All the oceans are there. Kukshauta sagaraha sarve. Saptadvipa vasundhara. You know? And in that sagara what is there, the whole earth is there. So you chant all this and then you say Gange Chaimane Chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri Jalesmin Sannidhim Kuru. You all these rivers, waters you invoke in that. Then you do a puja to the kalasha, you do alankara to the kalasha, right? You do offer flowers. So with all this, what you have done now? You have sanctified the kalasha and its waters. Okay? Now you yourself perhaps pick the flowers from your garden, right? You prepared some naivedyam, you got a few things, you wore some fresh clothes. All that is still not kosher enough. It still has to be sanctified. So what do we do? Kalasho the kena. You take out the water from the kalasha. After this, puja dravyani samprokshya. You sprinkle that water on all the puja dravyas, everything used for the puja. Devanam prokshya. You do prokshanam on the altar. Atmanam prokshya. You sprinkle on yourself. So there is so much of sanctity being brought in here. This is all religious. Okay? In certain cases, the only way you can purify, Darbha I told you in one case. In another case, you can purify only by taking cow dung. Cow dung, gomutra. Now, it is not the modern idea of cleanliness, okay? So, who will take the urine of a cow, you know, excreta of a cow? If you put it in that language, how can you consider it clean and kosher and make everything else clean? So, you want to make this altar clean? You mix some cow dung and, you know, cow's urine and other things, panchagavya you make and you spread it out there. That's a no-no. How can you do that? That's not hygienic. We are not talking hygiene. Okay? We are not talking hygiene. We are talking of a religious sanctity. How do you know this religious sanctity? You have no basis except that this is all esoteric. There is no science about this. It's esoteric. This is the way you do it. Same reason it is said women should not go for puja on certain days in a month. Same reason. There is no other rule for it. It is not that they are unclean. But that is the way it's considered. So this is all part of the culture. So this culture has to be kept in background. So now, as I said, if you are coming, so this is a Brahmana. Shankara is a Brahmana. Okay? And see, even in sannyasis, you have several grades of sannyasis. So if you see, our Swamiji is very, very accessible. Everybody goes to him anytime, anywhere, touches him, all that is fine. But if you go to Sringeri, you will find that the Acharya will normally be surrounded by a phalanx of Brahmanas. Okay? With Uttariyam and nothing else, and Shikha and everything, they will be all Brahmanas. And they will be making way. You know, if when he is coming, they will announce his arrival and you have to make way. You don't go in his path. Okay? You don't touch him ever. In fact, he is to give Tirtha and Prasadam. So Tirtha, you know, what is Tirtha? That water Prasadam that you get. So he had to give it. But he has to do so without touching you in any way. No contact. So I recall seeing his Uddharanam. You know what is Uddharanam? That little spoon with which you lift up the water. Uddharanam. Lift up. That with which you lift up is called Uddharanam. So that Uddharanam would be this long. I'm not joking. Okay? I'm not joking. It's pretty long. So he would sit like this. You would take it, it goes there. So you have to maintain that space. One Lakshman Rekha is there. Okay? Not for ants, for people. So, you don't enter anywhere in that circle. You don't touch him. And he would offer Tirtham Prasadam. But I heard later, even that has been stopped. Because people who are given Tirtha didn't know how to take it. So they would drink it and sip it in such a way that it would come out. And that became too much. So I believe now it's not happening. I don't know if it's still true. But that's what I heard. But what I'm saying is, now when Shankaracharya walks around, even to this day, the tradition is what? You don't go touching him around. Shankaracharya does not teach Upanishads like our Pooja Swamiji anywhere. Why? Because you cannot teach Upanishads just like that. He have to be a Vaidika, a Brahmana. He should have a Yajnopavitam. Therefore, Shankaracharya will teach only a few select people. who are qualified in their view to learn. So I'm saying the level of this system of segregation was very prevalent. So every person had his roles cut out. So a person who was born as a Vaishya was supposed to take the profession of his father, agriculture or commerce. A person as a Kshatriya alone becomes a king or a soldier. Nobody else does. So I'm saying this is a society. And understand that we cannot judge a person's actions based on what he or she does alone. You have to take into consideration the time and place he or she lived in. I'm setting up all this background because you need to understand Shankara's action here. Okay? So now, Shiva has approached Shankara as a Chandala. What is a Chandala now? So now we had four Varnas. Varnas are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Now what happens if a Kshatriya decides, somehow falls in love with a Vaishya, gets married? What is a child born of that union to be? Is it a Kshatriya or is it a Vaishya? If between Brahmana and Shudra you have a union, what is that supposed to be? If Brahmana and Vaishya you have a union, what is that supposed to be? Mother can be one, father can be one. Right? Now you think of the possible permutation and combinations. How many possibilities are there? Because this is the Varnashrama in general. But this, it is not like a pure Brahmana or a pure Kshatriya. There is a lot of mix-up can happen. This is what you hear in the Gita as Varna Sankaram Jayate Varna Sankaraha. There is an admixture, the mixture of Varnas. How? Because human tendency. Somebody gets married to somebody and somebody doesn't get married to somebody also, there are children born. Happens. All this happens. Shastra recognizes this. And therefore, names, these people who are born to different combinations were also given names. And they also had positions in the society. So every such mixture has a name. So you'll hear one. So though we are only four castes, if you look in the advertisement for matrimonials in India, you can sometimes find a lot of sub-classification. Exactly which caste, which sub-caste one should be belonging to. So there are people who say they are Vishwakarma, which means they are people who build and construct. You know, that's their caste. And they are very proud of it. Carpenters. They belong to that. And they trace their lineage to Vishwakarma, who is the architect for the whole universe. You know, that's the kind of lineage they trace to. So I'm saying in this way, the society was very, very orderly, regimented. You know, it's regimented to various divisions. And each division had its position. Therefore, when a Brahmana comes, then nobody else should be in the way. Now Shankara went to the Ganga, perhaps had a bath, and is coming with some Shishyas. And his Shishyas will be there. Perhaps like our Adi Shankara, like our current Shankaracharya, making sure nobody comes in his way. But still, out of nowhere, comes this man who is with disheveled hair and dirty looking clothes, you know, and some dogs with him. And he comes. And that appearance itself tells you he is a Chandala. So Chandala is supposed to be a person who is born of the union of a Brahmana man and a Shudra lady. Okay? A Brahmana man and a Shudra lady is born. That person is called a Chandala. And a Chandala's child is supposed to be Chandala, and I think Shudra is called Swapacha. So there is a lot of qualifications. Okay? But what is it now? A Chandala, now born to a Brahmana father and a Shudra mother. Now where should we place them? Mostly today what do? If father is something, children inherit that. But not in the Jewish society. Only mother has to be a Jew. Right? If father, and Parsis also. If father is not a Jew, you don't become a Jew. But I'm saying here, father is Brahmana doesn't mean Chandala is treated like a Brahmana. See, what is Karna's story? Karna was by birth a Kshatriya. But then what happened? He was raised by a charioteer. Who is a charioteer? He's a Vaishya. We call him Suta. We don't say Vaishya there. Suta Putra. But Suta is one classification among Vaishyas. One of the professions is being a driver for a charioteer. Right? But then Suta was a caste he was given. Shalya also drove a chariot. Krishna also drove a chariot. But they were not called that. So it's not that it was not allowed, nobody else can drive a chariot. But his job is to drive a chariot. His job is not to be a king. That's what it was. So I'm saying, this is the situation. Now this Chandala, by his dress, by his mannerisms, you know he's a Chandala. So this Chandala, that is why Antya Vesha Dharam. Now I was saying, you could place him in Brahmana's category or you could place him elsewhere. But they are placed lower than the Shudras. Okay? And typically, in a village, where you lived also was determined by your position in society. So the Brahmanas, where they lived, it was called Agraharam. At least in South India, it's called Agraharam. So it is either a rectangle or one street or an L, whatever it is. One block, which is reserved for Brahmanas to live. Everybody else has to live away. And then the people of the Shudra Varna or lower have to live even further. They are the farthest from the village, from the center of the village. That's where they have to live. So this guy is coming from that side. Okay? And he is in the way of Shankara's walking. So when Shankara sees this, what does he say? Spontaneously he says, Gacha Gacha. Gacha Gacha means what? Go away, go away. Another reading I have seen is Apasara, Apasara. Move away. Move away from my path. Because you will defile me. I can't touch you. I can't walk if you cross my path, sort of way. Don't come on my way. Move away. This is what is being said. So this is what we saw here. That Antya Vesha Dharam. That Antya means as Ante Bhavaha. One who is at the end. End of what? This Varnashrama Dharma system. At the end means at the lower end in that sense. Lower, as I said, please understand, it's not lower in terms of we don't look down upon them. Shankara does not look down upon a Chandala. Shankara does not look down upon a Vaishya. But in Vyavahara, there's a rule. And I'm saying, in that time in society, this is the system. And Dharma is of two types. There is Samanya Dharma and there is Vishesha Dharma. Samanya Dharma means what? That which holds in all places, at all times, in all situations. That is Samanya Dharma. Like Ahimsa. Not hurting is Samanya Dharma. It applies universally, everywhere, every time. But then there is Vishesha Dharma. Vishesha Dharma is depending on time and place. Okay? So Vishesha Dharma at that time is Varnashrama Dharma. Very clearly. So everybody is supposed to follow Dharma. If you don't follow Dharma, you don't belong in that society. You cannot be a revolutionary and change the entire Dharma momentarily. You have to follow the dharma of the place you live in. Even if you want to change it, you have to work within the system to bring about a change. Okay? So Shankara is living in that society, in that dharma. So it is quite common to say these people, the Chandalas, the Shudras, should not be coming in the way of Brahmanas. Therefore, even in the Gita you saw what? When Arjuna was trying to say, I don't want to do anything, Krishna told him what? He said that you are a person who is something, someone to be reckoned with. Therefore, what you do will be looked up to by others. You know? So, since you are somebody to be looked up to, you have to do what is to be done. Okay? So, because people are looking up to you, therefore, a person like Shankara has to definitely follow Dharma. He cannot not follow Dharma. So, he has to follow Dharma. Because people are looking to see how he behaves with him. So if Shankara goes and embraces Chandala, everybody will start doing that. And that is not to be done. Because when you go to the temple, Brahmana's job was what? Doing Veda, studying the Veda, doing yajnas, doing homas, doing puja in a temple. All that is karma. And that requires certain purity. So he cannot be messing around with all this. When he takes a bath in the Ganga and comes, he has to go straight to the temple or his yajnashala, whatever he does. So, all this background has to be kept in mind. Therefore, Shankara said, Gacha Gacha. But who is this Chandala really? It is not a chandala. It is Shiva. That's how it is presented, okay? Now, as I said, this part of the story is constructed. But this is how the tradition brings it down to us. So you can see, I showed you the second or part. We look at the first one also. Same meaning. Kadachit Shankaracharyaha Kashim Prati Puim Yayau. He went towards Kashi. Shankaracharya at some time went towards the city of Kashi. Tasya Jnana Parikshartham Kashchit Deva Samagataha. Tasya Jnana Parikshartham. In order to examine, to ascertain how ripe this fellow is, you know, how well he knows what he knows, some Devata decided to arrive on the scene. Samagataha. He came. He landed in that place. And what did he do? He came in the form of a chandala. Therefore it says, chandala rupi tam drishtva gacha gacha iti abravit. Seeing this person in the form of a chandala, Shankara said, gacha gacha, move away, don't defile me. Then what happens? When he is told that, Tathoktavantam acharyam saha devaha punarabravit. Tatha uktavantam. The person who said like this, who was that? Acharyaha. So that acharya, Shankaracharya, saha devaha. That deva, who it is, he doesn't say. We said Shiva. But any deva. Punaha abravit. He responded. He said. Same thing used in second half, in the optional part, which is Shankaraha Sopi Chandalaha Tam Punaf Praha Shankaram. Okay? Shankaraha. So the Shankaraha is who now? Shiva. Okay, don't get confused. This Shankaraha is Shiva. Shankaraha. You can make it generic also. Shankaraha when one who wishes to do good. A Devata. Shankaraha. Sopi Chandalaha. So you can say with Sopi Chandalaha Shankaraha. That Chandala. Chandalaha eva Chandalaha. Okay? Tadhita Swarthe. Can take it as Chandalaha eva Chandalaha. Sopi Chandalaha Shankaraha Tam Punaha Praha. Tam Shankaram Punaha Praha. Shankaram now is Shankaracharya. Punaha Praha. He said. What did he say? Annamayad Annamayam. Repeat. Annamayad Annamayam. Athava Chaitanyam eva Chaitanyat. He Dvijavara. Duri kartum vanchasi. Kim bruhi gachcha gachcheti. So very respectfully he asked. What? He Dvijavara. Oh, Dvija means, what is Dvija? Dvijataha. Dvijataha Dvijaha. One who is born twice. Who is born twice? We have to die once to be born again. Right? So everybody is born once for sure. What is the second birth? The second birth is the samskara. So that a person who is initiated into the Vedic life through the Upanayanam, that is called the second birth. Because the person now dies to his prakrita. Being as you are. You no longer as you are. Now you have to become what? Samskrita. The moment is from prakrita to samskrita. From a person who lives life as he likes, as he is, a little child, to a person who is given a program to grow. That samskara, the samskara begins with Gayatri. You do Gayatri Japa, you do Upanayanam, you do Sandhya Vandanam. So all this samskara. Samskaroti iti samskara. Samskriyate anena iti samskara. That which will make you good, which will help you grow into your full potential is samskara. So the samskara here is Upanayana samskara. When that is done, what happens? A person is born a second time. Born to the Vedas, to the knowledge of the Vedas. Therefore now he can say, you know, Yajushakha Dhyayi, asmi bhu. I am a person who is studying Yajushakha. I am a person who is studying Samashakha. He doesn't know any Veda yet. All he knows is his Sandhya Vandana. But also he doesn't know first day. Gayatri Mantra he is taught. And he declares what? I am the person who is studying this particular Shakha of this particular Veda, Adhyayi. I am the one who studied it. And it is considered valid. Why? Because that one Veda Mantra, Gayatri, is considered to be the essence of all that has to be taught. Therefore, this person who has been initiated is called a Dvija. Elsewhere we see in Vajrasuchika Upanishad, there is an Upanishad called Vajrasuchika. So there you will hear that who is Brahmana, who is Kshatriya, who is Vaishya, who is Shudra. So there it is said, Janmana Jayate Shudraha. Janmana Jayate Shudraha. Everybody is born as a Shudra. Nobody is born as a Brahmana. Okay? Don't mix these two up. What I am trying to say is this. Strictly when you look at the social norms, the norms were you, this though we say that this Varna, at some point in time could have been assigned after your study in the Gurukulam. As a part of graduation. You get a degree, you also get your, you know, position. What is your disposition? By that time you are well evolved, 25 years of age. Okay? So they say you are Brahmana, you are Kshatriya, you are Vaishya. Perhaps it was so. But Puja Swami says it might have been like that. Okay? That's my basis to say that. But then what you see in the past which is recorded clearly is it's by birth. You were born into that. But I'm saying in the Upanishad it's questioned. Who is really a Brahmana? Who is a Kshatriya? Who is a Shudra? Because this Varnashrama system is also based on what? Guna and Karma. Two bases. There is Karma and there is Guna. So the duties are assigned for each of the Varnas. But the gunas for each varna also recognized. So the idea was to match the guna with the karma. So a person with a particular guna means a disposition. That to match a particular disposition with the appropriate duty was the goal. So a person is clear thinking, you know, not interested in just self-aggrandizement. That such a person who can think more broadly, who can think for a whole community, that person is given, is considered a Brahmana. Therefore, the duties were given to him were not seeking anything for himself, but to live a life of prayer and doing what is to be done for the community as a whole. Teaching. It was not a very remunerative function, never. But it was given to him because he can accept that and live happily. And a person who had some of that, but who also had a lot of, you know, go-getting attitude was made a king. And then came the people who had a value for go-getting, but their value system was not that straight necessarily. You want to make more money, okay, you become a Vaishya. Then came Shudra. So I'm saying this whole system was matching these two. So the Upanishad question and says, who is a Vaishya, who is a Kshatriya, who is a Shudra, who is a Brahmana? So it says, Janmana Jayate Shudraha. Everybody is born a Shudra. Then what happens? Samskarat Dvijaha. By a samskara, you become a dvija. And then by learning alone, you become a vipra and then finally a brahmana who knows Brahman is brahmana. So within the brahmana, we are talking now of vipra, brahmana and, you know, the differentiation there being made. So I am saying, depending on which context you are looking at, these definitions can move. Alright? But here, the Chandala is addressing Shankara as what? Dvijavara. You are not just a Dvija. You are Dvijavara. Among Dvijas also you are the most exalted. Dvijavara. Which means what? You should know. You are a person who knows Dharma. You are a well-studied Brahmana. Okay, you have studied. So you know something more. Now, you are telling me to move away. Okay? I have only one question. Annamayat annamayam athava chaitanyam eva chaitanyat. Do you want this physical body which is nothing but a modification of food. Annamaya. Annamaya means annavikaraha. Mayat vikare. Maya, that pratyaya mayat, tadhita pratyaya, can have a meaning of either prachuryam, which means a predominance, or it can have the meaning of vikara. Sometimes it can have a meaning of swartha, which means no particular meaning. Like in chinmaya, chideva chinmaya. But here it is vikara. Vikara means a modification. Because if you take it as prachuryam, you should be seeing chapatis and rice here. A lot of chapatis and rice all over. It's not sticking up. So then what is it? It's a modification of annam. Adhyate iti annam. What is eaten is called annam. And the modification of annam is what? This body. Because this body was born of food, is sustained by food all the way. Therefore, the body is not food, but the body is definitely born of food. It's a modification of food. So that is called annamaya. So, he dvijavara, annamayat annamayam. This body, Chandala is saying, this body, my body is what? Modification of annam. What is that body that you are sporting? Dvijavara, it is also annamayam. So, what is, you tell me, annamayam and annamayam, what is the difference? What is the difference between annamayam and annamayam? Suppose you took, now, in the dining hall, you had one bucket of rice. Okay? Another bucket of rice. Suppose you took one spoon of this rice and put in that spoon, in that bucket. What would happen? What difference will you see? Why should there be a distance? Is there a distance between annamaya and annamaya? Space is there, it's okay. But I'm saying, annamaya is the same, right? That annam, this annam, it's in five different buckets, that's all. But it's all annamayam. Why should you separate this annam? You will not say, okay. See, suppose now you come, I come with a plate. And I put my plate in front of you. If you put, some people may not want their sambar put on their annam. Some people are very specific, okay? You should be cautious when serving. Everyone has their preferences. So suppose you put sambar on the rice. You say, no, I have got a cup for it. Why? Because sambar is different. Annam is different. Now you put one helping of annam, you know, one spoon. You put second spoon of annam. He doesn't say, now give some space and put second spoon of annam. Why? There is no difference between annam and annam. It is all the same. Rice and rice, sambar and sambar. So you don't take one spoon of sambar in one cup. You know, half cup only it's now. Second spoon of sambar you'll take in second cup. That's not the way we do. We don't take 15 cups and go. For one item, you have one vessel. So now he is asking, annamayat annamayam. I see this body is also food modification. This body also food modification. Do you want the food modified bodies to move away from each other? Or, athava, chaitanyam eva chaitanyat. This is where now Shankara has to wake up. No, Chandala will come and ask this question, you know. Annamayat, annamayam, athava, chaitanyam eva chaitanyat. Question itself, questioner has made his presence felt. Chaitanyam is what? Consciousness. Is a person who is talking to him understands that there is nothing but consciousness in a paramarthic sense. This body is nothing but sadvastu, which is chit, which is consciousness. So he is asking a question. This body is annamayam at one level of looking, vyavahara. Second level is what? Chaitanyam. Even in vyavahara he has done a leap. He did not talk of jati. You are looking at it purely from a subjective perspective of saying, you are a chandala, I am a brahmana. Hey, chandala brahmana, is that inherent? Suppose that person who was born as a chandala, somehow, was put in a brahmana's house. Nobody knew. What would he be raised as? A brahmana. How was Krishna raised as? As a cowherd, Yadava. That's why Lalu Yadav can claim, you know, acquaintance with him. So I'm saying that this difference is superimposed after birth. Therefore, in Vivek Shunamani, I don't know if you saw the words, Jati Niti Kula Gotra Duragam. All these belong to the body. Therefore, even the Annamayam itself is one level higher. Now he's saying, should Annamaya move away from Annamaya or Chaitanya should move away Chaitanya? You wish to move something away? What should move away from what? You please tell me. We'll stop here. Sorry, time is sorry. took a little longer than I expected. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.